This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Seagull Social 2-1 Albion podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Bash. Season 3, episode 4, 37 it is. God, that's mad. That is actually mad, you know. That's really hit me just now. 37 of this season.
That's madder than Potter getting hired by Chelsea. That's really weird. In the space of a few months.
It seems like the longest season. This is completely unrelated. I saw Cristiano Ronaldo and Thomas Tuchel was at Chelsea. Ronaldo was at United in the same season. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I think
that is mad.
Anyway, it's completely unrelated.
For the whole season, we've just always been good as well, even though it's been so long.
Yeah. We have. And it makes everything sweeter with everything that's happened. And especially when we go all the way to Stamford Bridge and absolutely dominate them, play them off the park, whatever you want to call it, rinse them to shreds, ladies and gents. And Maz, Ben, I'm sure you boys were absolutely delighted as well. How was your weekend, Maz?
Oh, mate, incredible. Genuinely, such a good day. I watched the game, got to enjoy the Nkiso. And Ciso, however you want to pronounce it, screamer. And then got to go watch Zhang versus Joyce, which was great at the Copper Box Arena.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a fantastic big Zhang, mate. Zhang
no way.
Mate, he boxed his eye out. Literally,
absolutely
yeah.
Smashed him.
Stop boxed it, really? His eye out.
Yeah, mate, it was really bad. Like within four rounds, he had to retire.
Shit.
Yeah, really bad.
Zhang with a bang.
So yeah, mate, I got to see Nciso bang and Zhang bang as well. So what a Saturday it was.
How funny, because in his press conference, where his translation was like, he bangs everything, didn't he?
Yeah, mate.
That's funny that he said
Chat shit, get Zhanged.
Yeah, chat shit, get Zhanged.
And Ben, mate, how have you been?
Yeah, man. Good. Well, actually, last week I had COVID. This week I had tonsillitis, and now more antibiotics. So it's been a really, really good. It's been a really good first two weeks. Finally left the house today, which was nice. I was actually speaking to one of the new recruits at Seagull Social. Shout out Jacob King.
Yeah, big up Jacob.
He's basically going to be helping us from Horsham. He's a local lad. Near Centre Parks, near you, Ryan. But he's going to be doing like social clips for us and stuff like that. So if you see more content for us and also YouTube clips, then more content from us hopefully will make your lives a bit more happier. Just more bright content throughout the week rather than just on the weekend. Because we're all very busy people now, so we've been struggling. But so shout out to Jacob. I think I'll put his link in the description if you want to follow him up, because top lad. So yeah, cheers for coming on board.
Seagull
as well.
Social is now a quadruple, ladies and gents.
We've got more Seagulls
just...
quadruple.
Oh, yeah, on that, actually. Just to echo what Ben was saying, big shout out to Jacob joining the team. But also, I know we put it on Instagram as well, but if you're a graphic designer or can help out with graphics and stuff, it would be great to...
Get them in.
message us. Message us in any kind of like portfolio or previous work. That'd be great. And then, that'd be great. We can add a fifth member to Seagull Social.
Bash. Yeah, got to get the plug in. Okay, so anyway, let's get to the game.
Had a good weekend, boys. Yeah, cheers, Ryan. And you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ryan, how was your weekend? How was your weekend, Ryan?
Mate, unbelievable, actually. In fact, that's a good job you asked, because I went to see Chappaqua Wrestling on Friday. Obviously, the guys we had on the podcast, top boys, by the way, absolute legends, saw them in Brighton. And after the gig, we had a little chat about Seagull Social and, you know, everything that we've been doing together. And it's been great anyway. And they are big Brighton fans, in case anyone's listening that didn't listen to the interview we did with them on this. And yeah, actually, funnily enough, I went to obviously Stamford Bridge yesterday, and on my way out, a lad came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Mate, big fan of everything, blah 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 blah." But I saw you at the gig at Chappaqua Wrestling, and I wouldn't have found out about the band if it wasn't for you plugging them on the podcast and on Twitter and all that sort of stuff.
No way!
And I was like, that is insane. So if we could help plug a band that are now shooting up, which is, I think they are destined for very good things as well.
Have you told Charlie and Jake as well?
Yeah, I messaged them and they were just like, yeah, that's unreal. So yes, shout out to Chappaqua and Chappaqua even. I think I'm getting that wrong every time I say it, but yeah, shout out to those boys because they are top lads, Jake and Charlie. But
yeah, new album.
Yes, that was, new plus ultra, and, plus ultra.
And also as well, as you mentioned, Warren, yeah, make sure you go check out the episode that you boys filmed with them. And make we'll sure as well. And a big shout out as well, actually, to everyone supporting. Like what Ryan said just now, I had it as well. I was working at Wembley Way before the Finalissima with the women's Argentina, Brazil versus England. And I'm really sorry, I forgot your name.
Mike King? Yeah,
it was a young chap, and he literally came up. He was like, "Oh, I love Seagull Social. Like, I've met Ryan, I've met Ben, and now I've met you." Like, he was buzzing. That's sick. Like, I love seeing all the support. So again, nice. Really appreciate everyone who supports us and gives us some love. So yeah, lovely.
Cool. And as for the club, what we're doing on the pitch is.
Yep.
Unreal. I mean, we are sensational at the moment. It really is. I mean, I said it only on a couple of podcasts ago that we are the third best team in the league, and I still stand by it, and I still believe we are.
I'm not going to lie, right? When you are, like, credit to you, as in, like, for a good, I'd say a month or a couple of months now, you've really, like, banged the drum, like, how good we are. And don't get me wrong, I agree with you. Like, we were always very, very good. However, it's only been in the last maybe week or so where I've really truly believed that we are genuinely like top best.
We are top,
just behind Arsenal, Man City in terms of our style of play and the way we actually approach games. I remember a month ago you said that or a couple of weeks ago you said that statement. I was a bit like, oh, that's a big claim. But now genuinely, I'm with you. I've been converted. So
you know what I mean? But like Joe Sayer's done like a screenshot of like the world rankings, aren't we? Club world rankings, aren't we? Like seventh in the club world rankings.
Yeah, we've got to be up there. I mean, as I say, we are so good. And going to Stamford Bridge and dominate, I know they've got Frank Lampard and I know he's not a good manager, but the personnel they've got on that football pitch, they have no right to be losing in the fashion that they do at the moment. Mudrick cost them 100 million. They've got Felix, who's one of the best world talents in the last sort of 5 years. They've got they've spent so much money. I think some of the subs they bought on was like £300-400 million pounds in between them. And when you put it like that, and then you see they're 11th or wherever they are, and it's hilarious. And the way I look at it is, look, yes, okay, they are under a bad manager and they're in a bad time. But the fact we go over there and make them look amateur, and it really was that. But, I mean, it was. I saw someone said it was embarrassingly bad from Chelsea. I mean, we outplayed them to the limit. And one thing I really want to big up, twice, and I saw De Zerbi say, and I want to get your boys' thoughts on this, was he thought we played better in this 2-1 than we did in the 4-1. And I would probably agree with them. And I thought that we were rampant yesterday. I think it was only by luck that they weren't 7-1 down, not let alone 2.
I think props Ciso to Kepa. Well, he made some really good saves, though, didn't he?
I was about to say, Kepa was unreal yesterday, to be fair. Yeah,
good point.
The best Spanish
I want to get your boys' thoughts on that.
Sorry. We were phenomenal. And it's a very, very valid point from De Zerbi. I think we probably were better yesterday. We were so good. And also in that orange kit, which has become a bit of a curse recently. So it's nice to kind of break that again and put that to bed. But yeah, we were so, so good. Just incredible. Played them off the park.
I thought that our pressing was incredible. Like Caicedo yesterday was unbelievable. Like he was so, so good. And Ryan, I think I saw it on your Twitter, I think it was. I don't know if it was on your which one. What, yeah,
probably.
But anyway, I saw a tweet from you
his OnlyFans account.
Yeah. If it's Caicedo prop, mate, it was probably
no.
I banged on about this kid.
So credit to you. I wholeheartedly agree. You said that Caicedo is tougher to replace than McAllister, which I wholeheartedly agree with
you. Oh, this is my private.
I didn't want to bet you out just in case you didn't want anyone knowing you had a private Twitter. But
it's fine.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think the way what he contributes to the team, the stuff you don't really see, not that you don't see it, because you very much see it, those challenges he does,
just the more forgettable stuff,
yeah, like, you know, the basic stuff, if I'll put it in inverted commas, the basic stuff that the stuff that, like, you know, doesn't get maybe the plaudits that, you know, when it comes to award ceremony, they don't really get the plaudits, like an N'Golo Kante, for example, the stuff they do, you know, the running they do, the tackles they make, the tracking back, the awareness, all that kind of stuff that sort of goes under the radar a little bit. And because he doesn't get goals or assists as much, he doesn't maybe get the credit he should get. But I agree with you, Ryan. I think what Caicedo brings to the team is more pivotal and more important than McAllister, because I feel like, I don't know, like a, let's say an Ayari in a few years' time probably could make, I'm not saying he could do the same job as McAllister, but he could maybe replace McAllister in the long term. Whereas I don't see a ready-made replacement for Caicedo in the team. I think we'd have to really search far and few between to find someone of that like ilk.
The funny thing is, Maz, and this is what someone said is, you know, we said this about Bissouma, and Caicedo is by far clear of Bissouma. It's levels, I think, to be honest with you. We saw Bissouma being great for us, and then you see Caicedo, and it's not even close in comparison, to be honest, if you understand any sort of football. But this isn't me disregarding Alexis by any stretch, by the way. I think he's fantastic. I think he's an excellent player. Yeah. He goes on to be one of the, you know, best in what he does. But I think that Caicedo is, in terms of actual replacement, to find someone like him is so difficult. And I do think his talent is unique. And the way that the thing that gets to me is how he just makes every challenge. I mean, even if he loses the ball, he's got it back. And his timing of a tackle is, you know, you can't, you know, if you've played football, you'll understand how hard that is to make them challenges, especially in the modern game. He times them so well. And he's 21 years old, for God's sake. It just makes you feel sick.
21. We bought him for 4.5 million. The person in blue, who they bought as a main midfielder, 106.8 million. Caicedo is
just so much better. I know
Enzo's probably going to get better, and he's in a rubbish team, but it's just nuts. I'm looking at the BBC Sport graphics.
Better though, isn't he? Like,
Chelsea starting 11, bearing in mind the players out of the bench as well, was 499.3 million. Their starting 11 yesterday. Ours was 52.8. They had two academy players in Chalobah and Gallagher on, but their cheapest signing was Badia Shaley, I think, at 33 million. Our most expensive signing was 14.9 in Estepinha.
Webster? 20 million?
No, 20. Oh, God, 20 million, sorry.
Yeah, Webster was 20 million. 20 million for Webster.
Anyway, 13 million less than their cheapest signing.
Still a massive disparity, that is
it's
crazy.
It's just the most insane thing ever. But we absolutely spanked them.
I agree.
Nuts.
And Levi Colwill agrees. But what is
Can we talk about that? Because that is insane. The fact that he was filmed. Apparently he was, I don't know if it was a joke, but apparently he was like running, he ran down like 10 flights of stairs to like celebrate Julio's goal.
He came up to the fans after the game, Levi.
Yeah, he was clapping. Get away with it because all the Chelsea fans had left by then, hadn't they?
Do we read into that as in, like, because that's basically the big thing now, isn't it? Chelsea fans are like, he's going to Brighton. No, there's a lot of Chelsea fans like crying, aren't they? Like, he showed disrespect to the club, get him out, blah, blah. But like, he's been linked with like the biggest teams in Europe already. And I think it's going to be very difficult for us to get him, to be honest. That's just my personal opinion. I would love for him to sign on a permanent, but I just don't see it happening, unfortunately. I think there's too much interest at bigger clubs.
I still think he will.
Do you reckon?
I think I've deluded myself. I may have deluded myself, but like, I think I've just got it in my head. Every time I watch him play, I think he's great. And I don't know if I've just got this sort of like Leeds fan thing with Ben White, but I definitely have, because I just think he's excellent. And to be honest with you, I do wish him all the best and wherever he does go, if he doesn't stay. But I do hope that he does, because he's a cracking player. But he'll be one that goes on to be millions.
Yeah, because we discussed that, didn't we? Do you remember a couple of weeks back or a month ago now, where we discussed, like, do we want to play Levi Colville because we're basically developing a player from another club? Or do we want to, you know, use him because
Chelsea.
He's so...
I can't see it.
No, I can't see him staying at Chelsea. But obviously, he's so good right now that we should be utilising the most until he leaves. Like, we might as well, you know, get the best out of him until he leaves. So, yeah, I was very much sort of on the latter in terms of, I was like, why are we developing a player that's not going to stay with us? But now I think, actually, he's levels. So, like, you want a player like that in the team to
it's get also... us... Something that's changed as well is different that, you know, Potter signed Colwill whilst he was still at Chelsea, thinking that's obviously a player he wants to use. And then the main concern was the fact that Potter was still Chelsea manager and that he'd want to use him for Chelsea because he wanted him at Brighton. But now Potter's not there. So whoever's next, Nagelsmann.
And they've got massive
enough,
financial problems
about
to smack him in the face as well. And
yeah, they have to sell players, don't they? They have to hit a certain cap. I read.
They have to balance the books. So, and as well as
it's
that,
looking
good,
Brett.
Go on. And you don't mention Potter, mate. And I agree. I think that, you know, he was a big reason as to why I was a little bit like, oh, God. But, I mean, they've got Fofana, they've got Badiashile, they've got, you know, I don't even need to go through their squad depth. We all know how many they've got. They've even got Cucurella, who goes at centre-back sometimes. By the way, the reception from the away end was classical.
Tell us? What was it? What was it like? Was he getting booed?
He just got rinsed. Like, he didn't play, did he? But he got rinsed and he came up to, obviously, our end. Yeah, he got a hard time. What a waste of money, as some
deservedly so.
Because they obviously have to warm up that end, don't they, where the away fans are?
Yeah, yeah. He came out once and didn't come out again, and I can't think why. But obviously didn't come on again, so it's quite funny, really, when you think about it. But hey, look, this is how the season's worked, and this is what I'm trying to say. Everything happens for a reason, and it's really worked out for Brighton. It really has. It's really funny how everything comes back around. Let's start with the actual game, though, because obviously the one guy that you'd expect to score against Brighton, he hates us. We don't like him back. He's the modern-day Wilfred Zaha, Conor Gallagher. It was the most fluky goal I've ever seen in my life. It sort of hits dunk on both his legs, loops over Sanchez. In my opinion, I think Sanchez has got to be saving that. I think most people around me agreed at the time. But it was a horrendous one to concede. I don't know about you, Maz, but I think you probably agree with me, mate.
Yeah. So, obviously, I watched it on TV, obviously. I couldn't go to the game, unfortunately.
Oh, what channel was it on?
about that. so anyway, I know. So as I was watching it, I was like, so when he first went in, I was a bit like, oh, yeah. It looped in, and I was like, okay, shit goal, like horrible goal to concede. We've been all over them, you know, what a horrible goal. And then I was obviously lucky enough to see a lot of different angles and a lot of replays. And yeah, I'm sorry to say, but Sanchez has to be doing better. Like, it felt like, honestly, when I watched it, it felt like he was moving in slow motion. It was like he was stuck in quicksand or something and he couldn't move his legs quick enough. And I was like, why is he all of a sudden just sort of not really moving?
Do you think it was going over the bar to give him the benefit of the doubt?
No way. It was
out of position, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he was completely caught out.
His legs were. I still think he should have saved it, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. His positioning wasn't right. He was too slow to react. And yeah, it's just gone in. And look, he actually had a pretty solid game aside from that. And I've seen a lot of people saying that
he had a great game, you know. Yeah. He had a great game. I actually did think. And do you know what I'm actually going to say? Because if he stuck out just as half-time whistle went and he didn't jet off for a pint, which is, you know, Ben, I'm sure you would have done. No, I'm joking. Sanchez comes over to us and he comes up to the away end and he's sort of looking at us and you could tell he was really not happy about that. And he was just looking at everyone like this. And everyone was like, come on, Robbie.
Oh, that's
and,
nice.
And he gave it back. Like he gave us a good applause and everyone that's was singing good. His name.
Oh, yeah.
So that was obviously at 1-0 when he came back to
that's
us.
A special moment.
I did respect him for looking at the fans and sort of owning it. And
that's,
you know,
good. Yeah.
Second half, he was great as well. He made a massive save.
Do you think he's done that? Not saying he's done it to be disingenuous or whatever, but like, do you think he's done that because he knows that he's basically, his position's on the line now. And so like, he wants to make sure that like, he's owning his, he's owning his responsibilities. He's thinking, look, if I don't like own this, then maybe Deserby or, you know, let alone the fans, Deserby will be thinking
he's out of the team, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So that's really interesting, actually.
My friend Danny made a funny point about that goal. He said Conor Gallagher looked like he celebrated more than Enciso for scoring like the worst deflected goal you've ever seen in your life.
So annoying.
How many minutes was it? 600 minutes they hadn't scored a goal or something ridiculous.
Yeah, 600.
Chelsea,
yes,
like
yes,
600
yeah.
minutes. They hadn't scored a goal
score.
In it. And that's how it's cool, yeah. I was like, this is just typical Brighton. We've absolutely dominated them. We've battered them.
Yeah.
And they just scored the flukiest, most horrible goal. And then they've given it the big one. I was like, oh, this is so rank.
This Chelsea fan on Twitter, he's getting absolutely slated, to be fair. He was like, what a superb, like in capital letters, what a superb assist from Mudryk.
Oh, yeah, from Mudryk.
Yeah, he ran 20 yards and done like, not even a back heel, just a normal pass. And he was like, what a superb assist. They've obviously been so...
Their standards are so low, aren't they?
Their standards are so low.
I give credit to Mudryk, though. He was pretty good.
He looked quite lively, didn't he?
Yeah. If there's only there's two players that did worry me on that pitch, and it was Gallagher and Mudryk, and I probably wouldn't have thought I'd be saying that before the game. Mm. But I think the whole story of Mudryk and the whole story of Gallagher always fires them up. You know, obviously with De Zerbi being his feels like a father to him and all that, and you've got Gallagher, obviously ex Palace.
Yeah, they had a nice moment after the game, didn't they?
I do respect it. You know, they've come from a really horrible, you know, situation in Ukraine, and you can't even imagine what they were going through at the time. So, I think it's amazing that De Zerbi's kept contact with, you know, that old Shakhtar side.
I can't wait to get him on a loan and then permanent for like 10 million.
Yeah, Amanda Solomon as well. Anyway, Matt, you want to say something? Sorry, mate.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, that's right. No, I was just going to say, and then after that point, when that goal went in, I was like, obviously, Veltman went off injured. Then we had, obviously, Ferguson go off injured. And, well, to be fair, mate, Ferguson, when he hit the bar, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what an effort that was.
Yeah.
And also the great save from Kepa as well, from the header. That was a great save. So I was like, this is just not going to be our day. Like, do you know what? I actually felt like we're battering them here, so we've got to score a goal at least. But then when Ferguson went off, I was like, oh, shit. Like, is this like...
season's over.
Yeah. It's not season's over, but I was a bit like... you know, he looked really threatening. Obviously, yeah, like I said, he hit the bar, had a great save from Kepa, and he went off and I was like, is that like our main goal threat gone now? But then when Welbeck came on, fair play to him, obviously got his goal and looked really good. And and of course, Cissé, when he came on, like, he looked so good.
And of course,
we'll get onto the goal. But yeah, I was just really when those two went off, and I'm sure we'll get onto it as well, the injuries, but when those two went off, I was a bit like, okay, this is bad, because we didn't have obviously Gross went into right back, and I was like, it's not really a like for like, but he can still play there. But I was a bit worried about how do we do it? How do we adapt? Do we become less threatening? Do we become more threatening? You know, how's the game going to go? But yeah, the rest is history, as they say.
I can actually say the exclusive quotes that De Zerbi gave me on Friday, because I was allowed to release them yesterday and I didn't. So yeah, I could do it here. So I actually coincidentally asked him about Danny Welbeck, and I said about the impact of him, not just on the pitch, but off it. And he said that, you know, he's second to none with the young players, same with Lallana, and, you know, helping like Sarmiento and all that sort of young group. He said, but also on the pitch, he's still very, very important. And he actually said, some fans will obviously look at the team sheet. So he definitely got a burner account checking Twitter, 100%. But he said, some fans will check the team sheets and say, oh, I don't know about Welbeck, why isn't Ferguson playing, you know? And he said he's still a fantastic player. And I found that really funny, the fact that he actually is kind of clued up with what the fans say. You know, the fact he realises that Welbeck's a bit of an underrated star. But it was a fantastic header, you know. He really got up there well. It was in between two centre-halves.
Yeah, it's so similar to the one he scored last year, wasn't it?
Kepa was doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to talk about the cross as well. Pascal Gross, like, what a cross that was.
Another assist for Gross.
Mate, left foot as well, I'm pretty sure. From my memory serves me correctly, it was left-footed as well. Yeah, left-footed curler. And, like you said, Ryan, a great leap. And, like, you know, the two centre-backs pretty much got got dealt with by that guy, Welbs.
More like body-ish, Shaley.
That was so bad. Anyway, great finish.
That was a shambles, mate.
A great finish from Welbeck. And at that point, I was like, do you know what? Boys, we're going to do it. We were back in the game. My emotions changed massively from that point onwards. And I thought, do you know what? That is the least we've deserved from this first half. Like, the least we've deserved. Horrible deflected goal. Yeah, that horrible deflected goal shouldn't have been a goal. But it is what it is. And we've got back, get ourselves back. And I think that was so important. I think to sort of summarise that this little bit, it was so important to get that goal, I think, before half time. Because I think if we'd gone into that second half 1-0 down, not to say that we wouldn't have come back. Because I think
mind a bit.
I think our mentality is massively different now. Like, I think we can get into, even if we're 2-0 down, I think we can come back into it. But going into that first, that second half, thinking, boys, we've absolutely battered them and we're 1-0 down, I think maybe the mentality would have been slightly different. But to go in at 1-1, I think that was hugely key.
Yeah, agree. And one thing I want to say about that, not just that move, but that sort of whole first half, was Mitoma was absolutely rampant. I mean, it was probably the best 45 minutes of Mitoma that I've actually seen. He nearly scored a genuine Eden Hazard-esque goal. He got through, I think, like three or four Chelsea players, and it was only for Kepa's unbelievable save that it didn't go in. He was
arguably,
unreal, though, that game.
arguably, when you're one-on-one, do you expect him to do better there? I know it was a good save. You'd want him to score one-on-one, especially after all that hard work. He slalomed through two or three players. And, after all that hard work, you're like, go on, just slot it away, mate.
Because he literally looked like he was skiing. But just the way he like spanned Fofana was like, what the fuck is going on?
You know what it is? He has those little intricate touches where he's like, just sort of like, in and out with his feet, and it's just like so intricate.
If you're listening, if you're audio listeners only, Maz is pretending to sew. Yeah. It looks like he's trying to sew something.
No, it is. It's that intricate. Like, he has those little mini touches. Do you know what I mean? Those little mini touches where he's just, it's beautiful to watch. I love it.
Yeah, he's next level. I mean, the sort of player we've been screaming out for, you know. I know he didn't score or assist, which is quite weird for him because he's so used to doing that. But he is...
Yeah.
I've run out of words to describe him with, to be honest. Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? He hadn't scored or assisted. You know, what was he even doing? Cool. But the first half, I honestly think that it's the most sort of exciting technical watch I've watched of a Brighton player. Obviously, Enciso's second half was unbelievable too, which we can now get onto. But I thought Mitoma was brilliant at first.
So exciting to watch Enciso. Like, I cannot wait to see, and I hope he does start at Wembley because I think he does deserve it. Especially if Gross is maybe playing right back, but we can talk about that later. I'd love to imagine Enciso at Wembley. How far he's come from Paraguay, that little kid.
Yeah.
It always looks like it means so much to him. The fact that he's like cried at full time again. I know obviously he did at Bournemouth when he scored. It's just such an unbelievable story from how far he's come so quickly. He's playing at Wembley against Man United.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
It's funny because I remember when he first when he made his first substitute appearance. I think you guys agreed as well at the time. He looked a bit lost, not lost, but like he was a bit, you know, sort of a deer in headlights kind of.
And it
sort of felt a lot for him. And I mean, look, he's an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid who's just moved from Paraguay, like
on the other side of the world, you know.
Yeah, it's a huge sort of culture change. Shock, and you know, it's a huge change for him. But he did look a bit lost, and I was a bit like unsure. Can he adapt quickly? That was not to say, is he going to be a good player? Because I always thought he was, but would he adapt quickly? Yeah. And it's mad to how quickly he's actually adapted to the game.
So, this funny enough leads me on to a thing I said to De Zerbi again the other day. And he said to me that I said to him about Holier, I said, because his moment after Bournemouth was so special. And this was before his goal yesterday. And this is even more so. And he said he's like a different person this last 15 days. So he's completely changed. He said, and obviously Richie Mills went on to ask what it is that's changed. And he couldn't quite pinpoint it. But it was like he's got more confidence, he's exposed. So I said to him, so before Brighton of old used to be loans and, you know, develop players and then we bring them back like Ben White, etc. Even Alexis McAllister and Moises Caicedo. But why have we just stuck with him and thrown him out? I said, because why do you think that's right? And he said, because some players are different. And he said that with Julio, I mean, he's so highly regarded at the club, clearly. Everyone loves him, right? The players think he's hilarious. The players love him. Mm. The academy clearly rate him because he was way too good for the Premier League too. And De Zerbi said that, he's just one of those that just needed that first goal to realise his confidence. And then even the simple things he does now, like actually passing the ball, laying it off a little bit, making better runs. All he needed was that little bit of confidence. And God, has it shown in the last few games.
De Zerbi had like a 100%. Bit of, not a negative to say, but didn't he? I think he said something about like, if he needed to concentrate after he scored. Like he felt like he played as if he had already won the match after he scored. And obviously, he's going to have to learn that. And hopefully hearing De Zerbi say that, I'm sure probably De Zerbi did say it to him after the game as well.
Perfectionism.
To reflect. But obviously, that's such a special moment. He said he'll never forget that moment. Yeah. Run into the away fans, the sun beaming the celebrations down, scoring. Is that one of the goals of the season for us?
Easy, mate. Like, that walks goal from Alexis, into the first place, doesn't it?
Or another Alexis against Leicester.
I think not only technically the strike was just pure, like, you know, the way that pureness of the strike and
men as well, you know.
Exactly. Exactly what I was going to say. The two things: technicality of the goal and the moment. You know, the occasion, the way that we've gone 2-1 up, won the game, and the celebrations, the emotions. It was just incredible. Like, I'm sure I would have loved to be in that away, and I'm gutted. Like, I literally tried to get tickets and I couldn't get. I was actually so upset because I was like, I actually actively tried to get tickets and I was like, for fuck's sake. To be in their way, and I'm sure like it would have been incredible. And just the emotions of it,
seats at the end, it's all great.
I saw Luke's Links vlog, the clip of the goal, and even just from his angle behind the goal, it's just so pure. Yeah. And everyone, it just caught everyone by surprise in the stands. Yeah. Everyone's going, oh,
if you look on Match of the Day and you replay that last angle that they do, you can see me and my dad and you can actually pinpoint the exact moment. Because I was right behind that corner and you can pinpoint the exact moment that my mind realised that's going straight into the back of the net, isn't it? Yeah, and I was a bit like, oh, mate, we lost our heads.
So that you're saying that's our goal of the season, done.
Oh,
even with however many games.
Unless Kepa was playing as well.
Oh, sorry, go on, Ryan, go on.
No, I was just saying the way Kepa was playing, it had to take something like that from someone like him to do that. That was the only way it was going to get, to beat him.
Unless Julio does like an insane bicycle kick against United to win it in like the 93rd minute.
Can't put it past him.
That's the only way you can top that. Oh my God. But yeah, Julio, he just so exciting to watch. Like, I even started a new football manager save with Brighton just because all their squads are updated. And like, Karen Matoma's unbelievable on it now. Evan Ferguson's unbelievable on it now. And so is Julio and Ciso. And he's been unbelievable for me on FM. So it's only nice to see him do it in real life as well.
Agreed. Means a lot. And actually, it's worth noting about Evan Ferguson, just because we sort of skimmed over him, but he was really good before he came off, actually. He was completely running the show. And one move he kept doing that was really working every time was that sort of body feint and turn. And he did it every time. He did it, I think, three or four times. He got a few good shots off. Yeah. He uses his body more and then sort of feints and turns around. It's very Haaland-esque, way he sort of puts his shoulders in.
I was just about to say, have you guys seen... So, when the physios came on and they're absolutely jacked? Like, have you seen them? Have you seen the picture or the video?
Yeah. Mate, they walked straight past me. My dad's sitting to me like, look at the sides of him. I was like, oh my God.
Absolutely wham. The white physio.
Adam is, Brett, yeah.
Mate, he is an absolute
unit. He's a big boy.
Mate, his arms are bigger than me, mate. It's a joke. But, reason why I brought that up...
He's been at the club for like... He's been at the club for... years. Yeah, he's huge as well. But yeah, Adam Brett's been at the club for well over a decade. I want to say 15 years or so.
Oh, really?
He was just like a fit, and now he's like the official club doctor. Yeah. So he's been there since day one.
But the point I was trying to make, not just to sort of gawk over our physios and how big they are. The point I was trying to make was Ferguson just turned 18, I believe. Is it right? Yeah, just turned 18.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Not long ago, two or three months ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. And the geezer doesn't look out of place in between those two absolute monsters of men. So the fact that the guy just turned 18, like physically, because that's a big question.
Yeah,
when these young lads come on the scene, they're usually quite, probably haven't been in the gym that long, and they're still like not developed. Maybe
he's younger than Enciso.
That's what I mean. Like, the difference he's physically an absolute beast. Like, I'm scared to see what he'll look like if he carries on this trajectory now of like
he's like Haaland. Built like Haaland.
Yeah, he's Irish Haaland.
I know it sounds crazy, but he is literally built like him because he's tall, but he's quick, and he's also very strong. So when someone tries to sort of shove him, you can't. And do you know what? One thing Moises is so good at as well. He's so strong on the ball. So when anyone tries to shake him off, he's a unit as well. I think Moises, because he doesn't look it, you wouldn't think it. But it's not all about the muscle. Yeah. If you're a strong character, that's it. You're all right. And Moises is that personified.
I love it.
Yeah.
Sorry, one more thing on the physios, though. I saw someone done like a hilarious... Someone done a hilarious meme.
Back to the physios.
He was like such a... I think he said he was like, such a shame to see Evan Ferguson go off the pitch, but I want to know what Brighton's physios are training for, because they're training for something that we don't know about.
Oh, mate.
Like that.
You know that that big conspiracy theory about Bayern Munich, that they're all like roided up?
Oh, yeah.
Mate, we probably went on like a training camp in Germany. I was like, there's a big conspiracy that everyone that goes to Bayern is just absolutely wrong.
Who's their defender? I know there's two Hernandez, one plays for Milan, one plays Bayern.
Oh, yeah, he's back from an ACL.
In 4 months. Back in training. How have they done that then?
That's insane. Yeah.
We've had Modo only just coming back after nearly a year. He's back in training, by the way. Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's class. Could
be a year. Actually, no, it is a year, you're right.
Essentially.
Yeah, it will be actually. You could see it back. Just about. Because I said yesterday it's about the dance floor. It'd be nice to see Modo on the dance floor as well.
Modo on the dance floor.
But as well, shout out Jack Stern as well, by the way. His legs are huge. My God, is he a big boy. He was firing some shots at Tom McGill before the game, obviously. And I never really go out early, so I'm normally one of those that, if you've ever seen me at a game, I'm normally outside the Amex probably about 10 minutes before kickoff, and then I sort of rock up 5 minutes before kickoff. I'm one of them. But just, first time I was out about half an hour before, I was watching Jack Stern, and I was just like, yeah, he's a big lad as well. But yeah, No, fair play. We got some muscly boys at the Amex, that's for sure. But anyway, on to Enciso, because I know we mentioned him as a boy, but what a strike. And how it was made by Solly March as well. It needs to be said, João Félix completely gave that up. I'm hoping he gets as ridiculed by the Chelsea fans he should for that, because it was pathetic. It was terrible defending. He let him go completely, gave up on it. Once he realised he won't get the ball, he was like, nah, I'm only on loan, I don't care. Solly March walks through all of them, and it was a great little move. It lays off NC, so bang, top corner. It doesn't get any more top corner than that, to be fair. Unbelievable moment.
Did Solly lose the ball first, and then he won it back again?
Yeah, he went back for it. And in that just time, Felix still hadn't bothered to actually try and get the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
That goes to show the difference. So, and that's what the difference was yesterday. It was as simple as we wanted it, they didn't. And the one thing that I can say wholeheartedly for that side yesterday, every single player on that pitch from start to finish worked their socks off. They went for it. And that's all you want as a fan. If we lost that game, but all of them worked their socks off, you could say, fair enough. Like, you know what I mean? We've given everything we could. And to watch that game was exactly that. It was completely, don't get me wrong, tactician was unbelievable from De Zerbi, putting Grosset right back and changing it when we were 1-0 down, or 1-0, I think it was. That's fine, right? Don't discredit that. But the effort and the mentality that was that team showed until for the last 10-15 minutes when we burnt out a little bit, which is something that we need to learn for future reference, because we did invite pressure back on us a little bit. But we worked our socks off yesterday, and it was full credit down to that mentality.
Talking of working his socks off, I think what really epitomised that for me was when when he's on the left-hand side, and you know where, was it Chilwell and someone else got in a bit of a, I think Badiashile?
Yes.
Got in together and then he hit the post. Yeah, Enciso. That tenacity to never give that up, because the ball ended up going to, I think it was Chilwell.
Florian Andone, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just that, like talking of the tenacity and not giving up, and just a general play. I think that sort of summed up for me. Like, he didn't give it up. He could have easily just spin up, right, cool, he's got the ball, let's just, you know, track back and reset. But he kept going, grabbed the ball off him, and obviously hit the post. Really unlucky. And then Welbeck should be doing better there. Let me say, when it came out to him, he sort of skied it, didn't he? But it was tough. It came at him quickly. It did come up at him quickly. It was a big chance. He maybe should have hit the target as a minimum. But yeah, it was a great play from Enciso. And I think that just summed up the tenacity and the work, like the workmanlike sort of mentality that all the players have at the moment. And
also
I love
the confidence. Just you can see the confidence that the goal against Bournemouth had done. Like maybe he would have done that if he hadn't scored already. But I know when he came against Palace, when he came on against Palace, looked a bit iffy and were a bit like, are you going to cut it? But obviously showing glimpses like that. I think he definitely has got it. And just, it is mad how much confidence plays a part in football. Like, don't get me wrong, Chelsea have some brilliant, brilliant players, which is why they're worth some of the money that they are. But if you're not confident, then your ability is out the window. And Julio Enciso is a perfect example for the flip side of it, because he looked unbelievable.
Also as well, and sorry if you're going to get onto this, Ryan, but I just wanted to mention as well that, like, how dominant we've been in the last, like, couple of weeks or months. How dominant, like, just in terms of possession as well. Like, was it 57% possession, I want to say, yesterday?
Yeah.
Away to Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been more. You're right. Let me 57. And also we had 26 shots, and I think, was it against Spurs, we had 30 something, was it? Or was it the game before that? I can't remember. We had like ridiculous amount of shots. 33 at Spurs. So, like, it just shows, like, how dominant we are against this supposed big six. Spurs, Chelsea. Even, like, when we played against, I don't know, fucking, who else is good? Like, anyone, basically. Anyone we played, we've just looked really dominant in possession. And I just love how many chances we're creating. And we're actually finishing them now. Whereas, what, under Potter, we'd be like, oh, yeah, classic. We've had 30 shots. We haven't scored any goals. Like, classic Brian. Whereas now, we're actually converting. I think that's the key thing there as well.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah, sorry, that reminds me of the Spurs thing. Sorry, Ryan. I just wanted to say,
no,
and I probably shouldn't have this mentality, but I was looking at the league table and I'm still butthurt about the Tottenham thing because...
Oh, mate, yeah.
If we had 3 points... Wait, I think we would be fifth, maybe. We've still got two games in hand. I think obviously United playing a bit.
We would have been sixth. We would have had 52 points and we would be... a point behind Spurs with two games in hand.
Yeah.
Who are in fifth. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I still can't get over it. But on the flip side, Ben, and I'm just as frustrated as you are, don't get me wrong, but on the flip side, I think it just shows that our bounce back ability. Like, we could have easily let Spurs game just fuck us over for the rest of the season, as in, like, just being that sort of downward spiral. But we bounced back, and what fashion we did it in as well. So, yeah. I'm so proud of the boys that for coming back.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Stamford Bridge.
Because I think I know my head dropped, so I can't imagine what the players would have been like after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, agree. And actually, while you're on that, Mick sent in a tweet actually to the thing we put on just before we started filming.
Sick.
And he said, "I appreciate we won yesterday." And this is why we're on this subject of, you know, referees and Tottenham last week. I know we won this game. So he said, appreciate we won yesterday and we should rightly celebrate a famous win and double over Chelsea. But should we not have had a penalty for yesterday's handball? Looked obvious to me, but perhaps I'm seeing things. And actually, I thought there was two handballs, you know, but I don't know. I can't remember them exactly. But I do remember that first one. So, was it Chilwell?
Yeah.
Sort of handled it, like to almost push the ball away. I can't remember.
Pulisic. Estepinian. Estepinian was running. Estepinian was running through. And Pulisic handled it. And
he's
so, yeah.
LeBron James of soccer, right?
Yeah, LeBron James of soccer. I think it would have been soft. So I don't know what the second handball he's talking about. But the first one, the Pulisic one, I definitely think it would have been soft, but it has hit his hand.
Because I was listening, I was working yesterday, hence why I didn't watch the game, obviously, until the highlights. But I was listening to Sky Sports News, and they were saying that we've been hard done by VAR again.
I think they
were just saying that to have like a good opinion.
I didn't see it because it was on the other side of the pitch. The one that I did see, I can't remember what it was, but I remember screaming handball for something, but I can't remember.
It's definitely hit his hand. It's definitely hit his hand. However, it was one of those where it sort of bounced up and it sort of hit his hand, if that makes sense, as he's running. So it's like he's running and it sort of like bounced his hand as I don't know. It would have been soft, but I mean, if you're going by the rules, it's hit his hand. I don't know. It's a really tough one for me.
They've started giving the most wild handball decision. I still don't understand the rules, to be honest with you. You know, we saw that at the Tottenham game, but I saw today as well with the penalties in the West Ham Arsenal game. There was a handball given, which was completely handball against West Ham. No, for West Ham, I think. And it was definitely a handball. Mm. No, against West Ham. Yeah, it was against West Ham because it was the one that Saka missed. And it was a handball, yes. But to me, that means that the Brentford penalty was a handball as well. So this is where the trouble is. It's the inconsistency of the rules. No one quite understands when and when isn't. Because they would said at the time it was to do with proximity. Whereas this time, in this West Ham game, he was literally, I'm talking like this, away from him. So it's the same
like
logic applies, to be honest.
Against, did you see Man United's one against Seville? And the ball was literally blasted at Bruno's arm. And he was literally
running. He got his yellow card for it, yeah.
Mental. Yeah, actually got a yellow for it.
That's, I mean, it's funny, actually.
Funny, though. It's very funny.
It's funny because it's Bruno.
It's funny because
Bruno. At the same time,
he's a clown.
Yeah, but like you said, Ryan, it's like, where are the consistencies in the law? Obviously, when it comes to European competitions, they've got their own, you know, UEFA refs and all that kind of stuff. So the officiating is going to be different, of course. But even in the Premier League, I think the standard of officiating is so low at the moment. I just feel like there needs to be some kind of revamp. There needs to be some kind of training course. I don't know what needs to be done, but something needs to be done because I feel like the standard of officiating at the moment, across the board, even in the Football League, I've seen so many Football League fans complaining about how bad the referees are that I think something needs to change. There needs to be some kind of new course implemented, or I don't know.
I did think the one yesterday was all right. I thought on the whole, I didn't really see too much. There could be because we won the
game.
And I might have a tinted glass on that, but I don't think of anything else.
Or could it be, Ryan, because of how much we got fucked over at Spurs, is it now the referees are like...
Good.
But also, generally, like, could the referees be thinking, look, we messed up so bad last week against Spurs and Matt Brighton, do we now have to be more careful what decisions we're giving to Brighton, which obviously could favour us for the rest of the season, but could they be thinking now, like, in the back of their minds, like, we messed up so badly, we have to sort of make it up now to Brighton and make sure that we...
We need to cash in on those in the semi-final, mate.
yeah, hopefully. Hopefully that's the way.
Against United,
you know that money in the bank meme?
But to be...
When he's running with a case of money into the ring.
There's Brighton cash. Yeah, the one chart that came out yesterday was fantastic. The Premier League's corrupt and now you're going to believe us. That was fantastic. That came out yesterday in full voice as well. And I can confirm I was singing the same. But for legal reasons, I wasn't. It was a very good game, boys. A very, very good game indeed. Do you know what? It was so funny. It was really funny just seeing Todd Bowley's unhappy face when it was about sort of 10 minutes left. You've been played off the park. You've been absolutely run rings around for about 12 months now. Give it a rest, mate.
Just have a day off. £621 million or whatever it is.
He spent £600 million. He's taken everything that we had. He tried to gut this club all the way to the max. He took one of our players of the year that he didn't even bring on the pitch yesterday. It's embarrassing. I hope that Todd Boehly
that couldn't even get on the pitch, sorry.
In massive shame. In massive shame tomorrow, because I mean, honestly, the way that the Chelsea downfall has happened is poetry. And I hope that if there is a Chelsea fan watching this, and, you know, this is the sort of thing I'd say if they had won the game in a salty manner. No, I ain't salty. I think it's hilarious. And I think that their downfall is well and truly deserved. And I hope that they continue their downfall, because if the amount of money they've spent is a joke. It's a joke. It's not what football is about. And this is exactly why the story of Brighton, Fulham, Brentford is good, because it proves that football is still alive. And yes, I hope well and truly, Todd, that the one man you really should have bought was Tony Bloom, and you didn't. And that's exactly why you've messed up and made you look like a complete clown. Like Tony, you are. Mate. Anyway.
Mate, it's so funny. It is like you said, Ron.
No sign of Bruno yesterday, though.
It's poetic. Yeah, no, I'm guessing he's gone. I'm guessing he's gone. He's on the job centre list.
Boys, just before we get onto the Man United stuff, Man United preview, I have got a few questions for you.
Oh,
boys.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you'll enjoy. So the first one, again, we've touched on sort of a few of these. So we don't need to go into like massive detail, but like it was just a few bits where we can sort of like round up, I suppose. So obviously, Ferguson and Veltman out the semis, unfortunately. I think De Zerbi confirmed it yesterday. They're both out for a couple of weeks, which is a great shame, of course. But for Man United, and again, it sort of ties into the preview, but who would you start and where would you start people? So, for example, would you bring Gross into right back? Would you... Yeah, bring someone else in. Like, yeah. So we'll start with you, Ryan. What would you do if you were at De Zerbi? You're in that changing room and 2 hours before kickoff. Who are you starting for the FA Cup?
I know that he likes Gross at right back because he's mentioned it at pretty much every press conference so far that I've been to. So I would say he sticks with that. Obviously, Shane Veltman is out. I think it's probably a bit too much of an occasion for like, you know, one of our young players to step up in that, because that wouldn't be fair. Gross right back. Colwell comes back, I reckon, because Webster did give ball away a fair bit of time. And I would have him back in there alongside Dunk for a bigger game. I think the rest of the team sort of makes itself up, really. You've got Estupiñán, you've got Dunk, you've got Colwell.
Well, yeah, there is
Welbeck.
Gross.
Welbeck for Ferguson? I mean, Welbeck
would start, Welbeck, I'm assuming. Welbeck probably would start, yeah, because it's a bit unfair on NC. So as much as you'd want to start, I think it's a big moment. And, you know... Welbeck's record
against
United
question, though, Ryan,
since leaving, I think it's the best of any player that's ever left the club to come back against them. I think he's got the best goal scoring return against them. For that reason as well. He loves a goal at Chelsea, he loves a goal at United, and he's not afraid to celebrate as well, which I love.
You are missing one though, Ryan, because the 11 doesn't write itself like it kind of normally does, because Pascal is at right back. There's now a hole in midfield, so who plays there?
I suppose you've got Solly, which can sort of float in between right back as well, which is what's good about our team, because you know you've got Solly, and if he drops,
in those four positions now though. Like I love the way like he contributes to the attack now. Like, I used to love him.
The thing is, right back isn't right back for Brighton, is it? Right back isn't right back for us. The thing is with what we have with De Zerbi, isn't it? And he said it so many times, we don't play with positions anymore. Like we set up with a position, but everyone just sort of like, you know, everyone's good enough to be able to play pretty much anywhere. And if we are, on the odd occasion where we are caught out in transition, which we were a few times when our legs went yesterday, and obviously being done for pace, and that's the only worry. But obviously with Rashford probably out, it does give you a bit of confidence. Jadon Sancho is obviously a very, very capable winger, but Gross on his day can handle him. I guess in midfield it's weird because you wouldn't start Ayari. You would start Caicedo, McAllister, obviously. March, Welbeck probably. Matoma. And then, who have I missed? Enciso doesn't get
Where
in,
did
does
Enciso play like when he came on? Because like, number how 10. Did that work out? Obviously you had Welbeck up front, so March on the right, Matoma on the left.
He played in
Caicedo, Alexis.
Yeah, he played as a 10 and then Gross went into right back.
Sort of went left as well. To be honest with you, he sort of covered it like a triangle like this. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think
that's the team.
And Sanchez will start again because he's already said that Sanchez will start.
Do you think?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay. He's already said it, hasn't he? Nice. So can't really go back on his word. And obviously still carried an injury. So I would imagine still comes back in if Sanchez... I don't know, it's hard to drop goalies, isn't it, really, when they've not done anything wrong. I guess Sanchez, you could say, got the goal wrong. But other than that, he's pretty good. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how the final goes. But yeah, I do... Part of me trust Sanchez more with certain things, but then also when it comes to big chances and shot stopping, I do trust Steele. I have got no reason to not trust him. So I don't know. We'll see. The good thing is, mate, this is one good thing that I will put to this, is that so much of our squad is capable of starting and putting in a good performance.
Yeah.
It's not just a case we've got a 1-11 and we don't know what to do after that.
No.
Tell you what is a massive miss, and especially for this moment now where Pascal Gross is going into right back, the person that I would love playing in this game is Adam Lallana, if he was back.
He's back in training. I spoke to him the other day.
Yeah. Well, at least he was on the thing. And everyone was speaking to him. And he was saying that he's back. He's ready. He said he's just getting ready. And he's been travelling to all of the games. So he said he's just been sort of getting himself fit again. Match fit.
Yeah.
But he's not injured anymore. So it's just...
I mean, okay, that would be... If he is back and available, he comes in for Pascal Gross.
That experience is such a good addition
to the team.
It's vital, especially in the FA Cup semi-final. Like, Adam Lallana's won it all. Like he's been there, done that. He'll be huge. Like
then,
just even having
the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. All right, that ties that one up then. And then this links in as well. Obviously, squad depth. And again, we've alluded to it. What's it called? Chelsea made four subs, and I'll read you out who they were: Mason Mount, Reece James, Mateo Kovacic, Joao Felix, and Hakim Ziyech. Which is like outrageous, right? That is just ridiculous. And they had Aubameyang, Azpilicueta, Cucurella, and Edouard Mendy all on the bench, not to come on, right? So in terms of squad depth, of course, like ridiculous. They got ridiculous squad depth. I know maybe not, you know, they're not playing well because they've got a shit manager, whatever it might be. But they've got very good squad depth. Now, for us to compete with the top six, do you think right now we have got the squad depth to compete and to qualify for Europe next season, for example? Or do you think we need to make additions? And Ben, we'll start with you on this one.
I think right now we've got the team to compete for top six, I do think. 100%.
The first 11, or is that the squad?
First 11, I think our squad. I think we've now got a few more additions that can come off the bench and actually make a change, whereas previous seasons, or maybe... Yeah, maybe last season even, you could say last maybe only year, one game changer on the bench. But we've got a few now, which is incredible. Next season, if we're in Europe, juggling Thursday nights, maybe even Tuesday, Wednesday nights if we get Champions League. But let's say Thursday nights.
Yeah.
If we're juggling Thursday nights with Saturday and Sunday games, we're going to need a much bigger squad.
100%.
Definitely some more additions that are first team ready as well. Not just some not some more youngsters. We need some players that are ready to jump in that first team. For sure, that can do both. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Ryan?
Yeah, agree. I think mostly. I think we will make signings, I reckon, in the summer, especially if we get to, a European competition, whether that's Europa, or if we push a bit higher. I can't imagine it will happen now, but we'll see. Never know. I'm assuming Europa. I think we've got enough for Europa, definitely. I think for us to then compete in it, we'd definitely need more. Just because, we are a smaller squad. We are quite stretched. It's one thing Potter really wanted when he was here was a small squad, wasn't it? Which is great when you're not competing because he never competed for a cup. But if we are, De Zerbi's the one that would want to go for everything next year. He'd want to go for Europe. He'd want to go for the FA Cup. He'd want to go for Carabao. He'd want to go, so I think if we've got a serious manager like him, we need more of a squad. Who that'd be, though, I don't know. Because we don't tend to break that barrier, do we, of wages and transfer fees. But maybe we might have to a little bit if we do want to compete, in that sort of top bracket of the teams.
100%. I agree with exactly what both of you said. I think our squad's not big enough at the moment. If we want to compete, just compare us to a Man City or, an Arsenal even. Like, they have got squad depth to really compete at the highest level. But just quickly, I'll let you do your point there. But just quickly, I think it will Tony Bloom, not saying that he hasn't, but will Tony Bloom give him the funds and the money and the backing that he needs. Yeah, will he give him the monies that he needs to really expand the squad? And not just expand it, but with the quality that's needed. I think that's my biggest question mark. Hopefully he does. And I'm not saying he's, you know, he hasn't backed the team before. But I think that's the key thing, is how much money will he allow De Zerbi to play with? I think that's the key thing.
Well, it was before the World Cup, wasn't it, when De Zerbi was saying how he wanted money to spend. And obviously, we kind of failed to do so in January. I know we brought in Ayari. Didn't get the Ukrainian centre-back. And that was about it. We all thought some other players were coming on the plane on deadline day, but didn't turn out. It was coming to us.
Didn't happen.
I can't remember who it was. The guy from Braga ended up going to Marseille, didn't he, in the end? We thought he was coming to Brighton, but obviously not.
The point before I forget,
talking about signings that we need to make, even just players that are unavailable or out on loan right now could help out in a European season.
I was just about to say that. Yeah,
Adingra. Alzate's out. Adingra's out. Moda's
Simmer.
Out. Those three.
Simmer, you know.
Simmer, yeah, as well. Maybe Waves. Simmer. We don't know what level he's at. But those three, Alzate, Moda and Adingra, they could be players that help in the first team already.
Yeah.
And 100%. Obviously they would help.
That's a good shout. Yeah.
I have a feeling, I don't know why, I don't know if it's just, again, could be like a random delusion. To be honest with you, I haven't watched him enough, but the highlights I've seen of Simmer, he looks a player, you know. And I think he could be a bit of an under the radar one. Because obviously everyone's waiting for Adingra. I think Alzate is a really welcome addition back. I really do. I used to rate him highly. But also at right back, you know, I think that's one thing that he's really useful for, is coming back at right back.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a very useful right back for us under Potter. I was really surprised when we loaned him out, you know. I thought it was so harsh. I guess he wants to get regular game time, but I think he could get it if we're getting to Europe next year.
Even like
Billy Gilmore.
I was about to say Billy Gilmore. If Billy Gilmore's not starting, what chance does Alzate have?
Well, he said about him. Sorry, he said that he's improving and he's getting closer to being able to be ready for sort of the first team. He said he's just been trying to, I guess, perfect. He said what he's trying to do, and one thing I've really picked up on is he's really trying to make all of our players like complete enough in what they can do, so they're not just sort of like a 1, 2, even 3 trick pony. They're able to do pretty much everything, and that's one thing I've really noticed about Moises, is that he's almost evolved into this beast that he is now. And you know, Evan is evolving as well. He's made Hennessy so a lot more able to play a lot of, you know, further over the pitch, and also, you know, making these players way more perfected. I think that's one thing you get out of, you know, your Alzates, your Gilmores, you know, they're very capable talents, you know. So I think that's what one thing is really good about.
Do you think, one quick fire question for both of you, Maz, sort of you. Yes or no, does Moda cook under De Zerbi, or even just, or is his time at Brighton over?
No. I think Yakimoda, even from what I saw before his injury, I thought he was still, he had the foundations to be a fantastic player. It's just obviously, he struggled with injuries and also under Potter, I think, because Potter obviously loved to experiment and stuff. He didn't always play in his natural position as well.
No,
so I think he will cook under De Zerbi. I'm quite confident. I think De Zerbi gets the best out of a lot of players, especially the younger players as well. We've seen, you know, the amount of young players we've got and how well he's got them playing. I think that's Yakimoto's still 22, 23, I think, or around that age.
Still super 23, young. 23, 24, I think.
He's still super young.
Old?
So well,
is he that old?
Jesus Christ.
Compared to our other players.
Yeah.
He's a senior figure.
But no, I think definitely De Zerbi's got all the capabilities to make him into a fantastic player. And again, like we've mentioned, to have the squad depth, I think he'll be key to that. If he can get him, you know, playing the way he potentially could. Because he was linked with Bayern Munich, do you remember when we signed him? He was linked with some big clubs. So like, he's clearly got quality. And he plays for the Polish national team and all that jazz. So, I think he's got the foundations to be a great player.
Versatility as well. So like what you were saying, Ryan, about perfecting many different positions. He's got that. I remember him playing left wing back or right wing back, didn't he, under Potter. So he's definitely
He was good there, wasn't he, left wing back.
But yeah, Ryan.
Do you know what? It's really odd, mate.
Shaqiri left back.
Zakiri at left back as well. Yeah, hey, Zakiri as well.
Yeah, he's banging goals.
But Ryan, sorry, can you? But yeah, you say, cook? Does he cook or no cook?
Does he cook or no cook?
Such a cringe way of saying about whether he's good or not. But yeah, I think he's. I do know what I actually don't really. It sounds really weird. I don't remember him like at all. And I went to pretty much every game of last season, and I failed to remember Moda in the team. And that's probably a sign of he was a good player, because I think that you don't have to be outstanding to be a good player, as you see with the likes of Arzate and Moda. Whether he'll start, I mean, obviously it depends on whether we keep Alexis. I think we probably won't keep Alexis because the media hype around him is a joke. It depends on whether Fabrizio is
really
head,
trying
his
to
dad
do that,
seems to just keep on. I oh, know. His dad really seems to be banging the drum for him, doesn't he? So if he goes, he goes. You know, we move on, whatever. We get someone else, or a Yari. Potentially then there's a Moda opportunity. I think it's going to be tougher for him than it used to be, if I'm honest, because we've got such a good team. And, you know, we even mentioned Gilmore, and, you know, these are players that are very good players. And, you know, he doesn't say that he rates anyone above anyone, does Zerbi. He said that they're all good players and they're ready for when we need them. And that's one reason as to why Moda's going to have a difficult time getting back in. But, you know, if he comes back in, I'm sure he'll be great. And that's one thing that I can say about pretty much everybody in our squad.
He's got his critics, Moda. For fans, anyway, some of the fans.
Yeah, mate,
right?
There's so many fans on Twitter. Like, they hate on Welbeck. It's a joke. They hate on Moda. Like, Moda's got no reason to be hated on. Like,
March was getting battered.
March
was getting battered online, like, literally 6 months ago. So, I think
yeah,
as fans,
well,
and
March
and we're
never
going to
score
it, like,
in December. Yeah. I said that. I said that March are never going to score it. Like,
we're all guilty of
it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
we're all guilty of being fickle. Like, as football fans, we're all very fickle. You know, there'll be one week we'll be absolutely, you know, giving plaudits to a player, and then the next week to call him a donkey. Like, you know, as fans, we're always gonna be fickle. But anyway, boys, before we get on to the I know this is getting to an hour now. We need to wrap up. Yeah, but my final question is, before we get on to Man United, final question and really, really quick fire. Would you rather win the FA Cup or get Champions League qualification? Ryan, go.
He loves it.
Great question, isn't it? This is what I do.
I know.
Okay, go on, Ben.
All the time I was like, trophy.
Win FA Cup. Win FA Cup.
Win the FA Cup.
And Europa League, yeah. We'll get Champions League another year.
So you'd rather win the FA Cup than get Champions League?
Yeah, we'll get Champions League another year.
One line rationale, why?
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Go on,
Ben.
Oh,
give me one line.
I did. I said, yeah. So
oh,
I said,
because we'll get Champions League another season.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I probably agree with you, because it's just a huge moment, isn't it? Like, for us to get a cup under our name, we can no longer be the only trophyless club, or like only the five trophyless clubs in England.
Yeah,
it drives you mad, doesn't it? And to actually witness it would be mad. Yep. Like, I've had dreams about it this year.
Yeah,
about it happening. Daydreams, that is, happening, and and I just think, if we win the cup, it would be mad. If we win the cup, it'd be mad.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it would be mental to play Champions League football. Don't get me wrong. Like, just to say,
anyway,
you're
it's inevitable,
League,
right?
The Champions League music at the Amex.
But
my whole dreams have come true.
Yeah. To answer the question, I also agree with you, boys. Win the FA Cup, like we've mentioned, massive occasion. Just to have a one-up on, just even Palace fans, you know what I mean? They've never won a trophy. So just to say we've won a trophy, that would be pretty cool. Not that I let them live rent-free in my head. But, yeah, just to say that you've won a trophy, I think that's a massive thing, isn't it? As a football fan, like, you love saying, like, oh, your club's won a trophy. Because that's always the thing, like, rival fans always bring up, you're like, you've never won anything. And it's like, we can't really argue against that, can we?
Mate, we won the Community Shield in 1910. That was when it was like Southern Division winners versus North Division winners, something like that.
Yeah.
Against Villa.
We got to the FA Cup final once. That's always a good one to bring up as well.
1983.
And we got battered 4-1 in the replay. Cheers.
But Maz, we're going to get revenge on the 23rd of April.
I thought it was 4-1.
I thought it was 4-0.
But no, come on. Let's do Man United.
Man United preview. Go on, Ryan. Kick us off, mate.
Yes. No Martinez, no Varane, no Maguire.
No Sabitzer now. I just read that. No Sabitzer.
He
just got injured in the warm-up for the Forest game.
Okay, just say one thing. I don't like seeing players getting injured, but...
Give him the keys.
Hear me out.
This is
going to be...
Let him cook.
A good day, hopefully. And also, Rashford. I don't know. I think he might sneakily come back.
That's the key one, isn't it?
I think he might come back.
Do you reckon?
I'm not going to say he's injured.
I've got it on here. And right now, they aren't scoring against Forest. And this is going to be so funny when this goes out and it finishes 4-0 at Man United. All I'm saying is Forest are not doing too bad. So you never know.
And isn't Maguire suspended as well? I'm pretty sure. He's suspended for the semis.
I think it's just for... I'm guessing he's probably suspended today.
He's out for the cup.
Yeah, for the cup.
Yeah, he's out for the cup as well.
Yeah, he's out for the cup.
Yeah.
That would have helped.
He's just got a yellow card as well. Just now.
And they've got to go full strength 3 days before, can we just say, against Sevilla.
This is their injury list right now, right, as we speak. So, obviously, Sabitzer to this. Tom Heaton, McTominay, Varane, Rashford, Shaw, Martinez, Van der Beek, and Garnacho.
Can I just make sure that Shaw not playing today? Is he actually still?
He's doubtful. Yeah, so I think he might be back for us. I think McTominay Shaw isn't too bad, but then Varane, maybe Rashford's also. But basically, Martinez is out for the rest of the season. I think Varane's pretty much out for the rest of the season, and then Garnacho might be back as well.
Garnacho won't. I think McTominay and Luke Shaw will be back.
I'm actually
disappointed that Maguire's not playing, because I think that would have been great.
Would have been helpful, yeah.
It actually would have been helpful. Because what have they got against... Because right now they've got Harry Maguire and Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka right back, Diogo Dalot left back apparently. And then on the bench, who are their centre backs? Weghorst, can he play centre back?
Alanga,
Palestri, Weghorst, Fred, Iqbal, Williams, Jurado, Butland, and Bishop. Who the fuck?
Mate, they've got two keepers on the bench. That's when you know you're finished.
Who's Nathan Bishop?
He's a goalkeeper. We can't get confident.
He's from their academy. Boys. We can't. Because look, Man United are very good. Let's cheer.
Thank you. We're better than United. We're better than Newcastle. I don't want to hear it. We're the only teams that are better than us.
The only teams that are better than us are
Arsenal and Manchester City. Those are the only two teams this season that are better than us footballing-wise. On a football pitch, if there was a tactician, if there was right now, De Zerbi sat next to me here, and I said to him, Roberto, who are the teams you think that are better than us? Honestly, he is not going to say Manchester United or Newcastle United or Chelsea or Liverpool or Brentford or Fulham or any of those teams up there around us are better than us. They aren't. I'm telling you now, they're not. And the only reason that United will beat us is a dodgy VAR decision, a Casemiro red card, which ends up going in their favour somehow because he scored a pile driver from 35 yards. That's how they're going to win that. They'll win that in that fashion. And they'll win it because they won it before. They won't win it because they're better than us. And that is a fact.
All
crumble under the pressure.
All views expressed are all right. They are none of us.
No, hang on, Maz. I'll do it for you. All views expressed are those of my own and not that of Seagull.
All joking aside, right? Like, what I said earlier, literally right at the beginning of the pod, I said, didn't I? I was like, look,
I'll back the boys.
Like, yeah, no. I'm fully with you. Like, I genuinely think we are a very, very good side now. Like, generally, I think we are up there in terms of like first 11 and the way we play. We are up there with the best teams in the country right now, for sure.
Mate, my United fan mate is Isaac, right? Shout out Isaac Lasky. He's runs United Clown Insta. And I met him last week and we were talking about it. And he said, look, did I meet him last week, week before or somehow? And anyway, he said that Brighton, he said, are going into this game, if you understand football as favourites, he said, because I don't see you as worse than us. Yeah. And he said, I'm genuinely scared of you, he said, more than I am of most teams in the league. Yeah. And to be fair to Isaac, he's got some great football opinions. Like, he is genuinely pretty spot on with most stuff he says. And makes a change for a Southern United fan to actually be spot on with what he said. He does go to games. So I guess that makes a difference to most of them around here. Mm. But he said, like, genuinely, Brighton... Oh, Forest nearly scored. They are a very good team. And he said that he genuinely does worry about us. And take my hat off for him, you know, for saying that. But as well, he sees it, he gets it. He understands, he rates De Zerbi so highly and what he's done here. You know, the only way it doesn't happen is if we do crumble. But I do think that De Zerbi and, you know, you mentioned Lallana back and Welbeck, they've been in these big games before. So, you know, we're not the Brighton of old. We need to remember that.
We're the bookies' favourites as well for this.
That's mad.
We're 11 to 8. They're 15 to 8.
That's mad. That's mad. Also, as well, I think a key thing for them, and again, I think he's a fantastic footballer. I think Christian Eriksen coming back will be huge for them. Like that midfield three, Casemiro, Eriksen, Fernandes. As much as we might hate Fernandes, that is a fantastic midfield three. However, if you look at our
three, going to wind you up.
But no, but like even look at our midfield: Caicedo, McAllister, and let's say Pascal Gross, if he you know when he plays there. That is a fantastic midfield three as well. So, like, yeah, well, when you come, you know, if you want to do like, we're very much on par, or if not
realistically,
better.
Realistically, though, out of their team, yeah, I'd have Casemiro, definitely. Yep.
Should we do a combined 11 quickly?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Really quickly.
All right, combined 11 to finish it off rather than predictions, because I think that's a better way of doing
it. Go on.
Okay.
Right, start keeper, go.
In goal.
We'll play 4-3-3.
It's either Steele or Sanchez, but it'll be Sanchez on the day.
Over De Gea.
Yeah, definitely. I'm having Jason Steele over there. Definitely.
Well, let's do it this way, because I think if we're playing Brighton,
I could
bring
Isaac right now and he'd agree.
No, but if you're playing Brighton style of play where we need a keeper that can play with the ball, yes, Sanchez or Steele. But if we're just doing paper players, not any tactics involved.
I'm having Steele.
So I'm the tiebreaker here. Do you know what? I think De Gea is actually nowhere near as good as people make out. Like, I actually think he's a bit of a fraud. I actually think he's a bit of a fraud.
Yeah, he
However, he is good. Like, I think, he got all the most clean sheets this season, I believe. He might be up there. I've got a decision to make.
Got good defence, though, around him.
Debatable. Their defence.
Not anymore.
Great, is it? Yeah, not anymore.
Well, not at that moment.
Okay,
yeah,
just, I mean, okay, quickly, because I know we're short of time, right? Do you know what? I'm going to go for this one. I will go with... This is really tough. Do you know what? I'm going to go with Ryan on this. Ryan, I'm going with Ryan on this one. Yeah. Sorry. Right, okay. That's goalkeeper sorted. Right, back line. Let's go.
What are we talking about? With injuries or
who's
without
there
injuries?
Right back?
No. Like, fully fit. Everyone's fully fit. Everyone's fully fit. Yeah.
Dallo over Veltman?
I think
Wan-Bissaka over Veltman?
I'd have to say one of those two.
I'd have Dallo over... Dallo over... Maybe Dallo. I wouldn't have Wan-Bissaka over him.
Do you know Wan-Bissaka's actually played much better recently? Like, incredible. He actually has got much better recently. But yeah, we can all agree. Veltman doesn't make the right back spot. Yeah, we can all agree on that. Yeah. And then centre halves, obviously Dunkey's in there, 100%.
Duncan Martinez.
Duncan Varane.
Martinez. Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah.
But no, I'm having Dunk. You know, because Dunk's been unbelievable again this season.
Dunk.
I think Dunk, he retains his place.
Dunk and
Varane.
Varane. Yeah, let's go Dunk Varane, and then left back.
Duncan Martinez.
Yeah,
I think I would have Varane.
I'm having Martinez over Varane.
Okay.
But you,
that's fair.
You
lose. You can have
that. That's my opinion. Yeah.
You can have that.
But I'd have that as
left back. And then left back, obviously, Estupiñán for me. Estupiñán. 100%.
Yeah, Purvis goes.
Right,
now,
this, this is tough now, because that midfield three, like we said, that midfield three is tough. Like, that is tough. So Caicedo has to get
Casemiro, Moises.
Caicedo and Casemiro.
Fernandes.
Agreed.
Maybe Casemiro and Bruno.
I agree with that.
That midfield is unbelievable.
I agree with that.
Maybe Alexis gets in, but like I think if you were to go Bruno on form, he has to be there.
I saw it before we started filming. I saw since Bruno joined Man United, only Messi has more goals and assists.
That's mad. And then on the wings, obviously Antony and Sancho for them, and then for us, it'll be obviously Matoma and March. So Matoma gets in easy.
Antony over Sancho. Matoma and Rashford, because I think
rather than striker, onside. Out and out.
March has actually had a problem, I don't know. He'd be pushing Rashford very, very, very close.
I'd have March over
very
Antony.
Very closely.
Yeah, I'd have March over Antony. But Antony's actually, he gets a lot of stick. His output's actually not been that bad, to be fair.
No, I agree. I think he's decent, but 85 mil ruins it.
Oh, 100%. Agreed. Yeah. Like, he scored 7 goals this season, which is not bad for a winger in his first season.
Yeah, no, mate. I rate Antony high. I think the way he skinned Burn in that final was unreal. And you know, he does tend to do...
Rashford.
So we're going Matoma, Rashford, and then and then up top?
Yeah.
Evan Ferguson.
Yeah.
Over Marsh, Tony Marsh.
Tell you what, that's a decent combined 11, I'll tell you.
It's a good team. That's like league winning.
We'll get a graphic on Instagram. We'll do a combined 11 before the semis. I'll make that 11 on
Instagram. Club it with United Cloud, mate. We'll get absolute loads of
love. We'll do it.
And then
we'll do our combined 11. Oh, De Zerbi, 100%. Ten Hag's a fraud, mate.
Roberto De Zerbi.
Right. let's do score predictions and then we'll wrap it up because it's been a long pod.
Or just who's going to win the tie? Who's going to win the tie?
Okay, who's going to win the tie? Go on then, Ben.
Winner of the tie, Brighton and Over Albion in the FA Cup final.
Love it. Yes, let's go.
Right. I'm going to put it this way, boys. We will be playing Manchester City in the final.
Yeah.
We'll be playing Sheffield United in the final.
yeah. All right, hat trick, boys. We are getting to the final. I'm mate,
we've got to go to Wembley twice. What a
boys,
shame.
Boys, we're all going to be there. We've all got tickets. We've all got our tickets. We're all going to the game. I'll be going to Box Park with a mate, or a couple of mates. Oh, yeah. I don't know what you boys
do. Let's do some filming outside Box Park, you know.
Yeah, that'd I was about to say. Fun. If any, right, in the comments on YouTube, please.
Videographers.
Down below, yeah, if there's any videographers who want to come film us, that'd be great. But if you do want us to do some content outside Box Park prior to the final, let us know. If there's actually interest for it, we'll do it. But obviously, if there's no interest, there's no point of doing it, obviously. So yeah, let us know in the comments and all that jazz. So yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Nice I don't know if you just heard my brother screaming downstairs. I think my
name they score.
Scumbag. Oh, well. No.
Oh, what? As in they're 1-0 up?
Yeah, yeah. I just gone 1-0 up.
Oh, mad. Fair enough.
Are they? Mine's not updated yet. Yeah, fair enough. Probably just...
I'm behind. All right. Okay, boys. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us because that was a fantastic episode. A lot of stuff in there.
That was amazing.
Obviously, Brighton are still way clear of Chelsea, as we all knew anyway before this game. And once again, we will keep winning. I don't even know. But anyway, we'll see you very, very soon, I'm sure, after Manchester United, which is going to be a huge, huge, huge game in this club's history. Not just this week, not just this season, in this club's history. Because if we do beat them, we will be through to the FA Cup semi-final for the first time in 40 years. 40 years, ladies and gents. And the next time we see you, we may well have broken that. But yes, we'll see you very soon.
That's crazy to think, though. If the next time we're talking, we'll either be in an FA Cup final or not.
Yeah, that is mad.
Or not. And actually, if you have made it this far in the video, don't comment below. Like the video, because I'm really interested to know how many people actually get here. And this isn't me begging for likes. This isn't me wanting likes, because we get the odd comment and that. But I actually want to know if you've actually made it this far. You'd probably be more inclined to like it. So like it.
Also, like the video. Like Ryan said, like the video, but also write pineapple if you've made it this far. Pineapple. That's,
I was going to say welcome Jacob, but do that. And welcome Jacob. Welcome
okay, yeah, Jacob. Pineapple plus Jacob.
Yeah, welcome Jacob.
Welcome
Jacob. Yeah, they have
scored Anthony. J-A-C-O-B. Because it's not like Jacob, like Moda.
Yeah. Right, boys.
Anyway, we'll see you soon. Thank you very much. Podcast.
This is probably my favourite ever episode, I think.
Aw, that's cute. Yeah.
Very kind. Right, I know. Thank you. I'm joking. Cheers.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.